from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast there, or by all means, check us out on any of our affiliates on the Michigan Talk Network. And very, very excited, very happy to be back where it all started for this show. Way back when my good friend Brock Palmbush and I started this show almost 16 years ago on the Game 730 AM WVFN. Of course, our other great affiliates across the state, but really cool to be back on the air in my hometown of Lansing and to be back on the station where it all started. So, and thanks to Nathan Vandenberg for all he does for this show and getting us on those places and making this show run. Thanks to Conquest Sense, also Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. And let's find out what has been going on with this crazy weather here in Michigan. It's been wet. It's been hot. It's been not so hot. In the realm of the dear Professor Doug Roberts, that is perfect. A perfect storm for crazy antler growth and good for fawns and good for the does that have made it through the course of the long, cold winter we had. But from WILX TV 10, Andy Provenzano, meteorologist, joins us right now to find out what's going on. Andy, in the words of John Fogerty, who'll stop the rain?
Very true. Yeah, it's been terrible. It's so streaky, hasn't it been, where you've got 5, 6, 7 days of finally getting off, you got rains, and then 5 days in the 80s, and it comes back to cold again.
It's because then we get all the humidity that goes with it, and it's not pleasant.
No, not at all. We had such a lousy start to spring with so much rain and cold. I think farmers had to wait several weeks to get out there and plant and all that stuff. And now anything can grow in this weather, including mosquitoes. You know, it's really moving along. The patterns are changing, and I think we're going to get back into the more better weather, that's for sure.
Andy, how have these patterns, I mean, have they, held solid to the models that you've been seeing? Have they been changing, so rapidly it's hard to keep up? I mean, not to mention, we've also had some pretty devastating weather early in the year also.
Yeah, you know, it's really been somewhat of an easy forecast because of things that have gone on across our country as well as Canada. And the pattern has really just kind of fluctuated between this mountainous cold air that was across Canada all winter. They had just such a cold spring up there. So this big mountain of cold air kind of sitting there rotating and dips into the U.S. and then goes back north and dips into the U.S. and goes back north. And that's been there. And you just time out when these, you know, streaks of the cold spells are coming. And anytime you do that, whenever the jet stream takes a turn out of Canada, it becomes a very unsettled pattern. And that's been the case. Well, that mountainous cold air, it turns into an upper level low pressure that's been around now for a couple of weeks. And that's why we've seen our weather pattern go right across the nation, west to east. And whenever you have that, you get these storm systems that form and they just zip right across. Now, they're not major low pressure centers, but enough for half a day of rain or a couple hours here. And we've seen that all this week. We had one 80-degree day this month. That was June 1st. And then everybody's been in the 70s since. And it's really surprising. And I made comment to some of the people in the department yesterday that this sunshine in June's a great month. Mm-hmm. Usually you have low humidity, and the sun is straight above your head, and you can heat up even in a few hours of sunshine. And we've been able to bail out a couple of days and get into a couple hours of sun to get back into the 70s. Otherwise, it'd be a lot colder. So we're going to see this change. We've got a couple more systems to zip through, one on Friday and then one over the weekend on Saturday night, Sunday morning. And then the mountains, cold air goes up into Canada, starts to disappear, and we're going to get a more push of some really warm weather in southwest U.S. The temperatures in Vegas, Phoenix, Death Valley have been running 105, 110 this week, and there could be as warm as 120
wow.
going into the weekend. Now, not that core of heat exactly coming this way, but certainly we've got a source to dip into, and I think we're going to see waves of that. And that starts next week. We should start shaking into a better pattern. The most of the nation heats up where it really hasn't been that way. And more importantly, if you look at the drought maps, if you go east of the Rockies, basically, after once you get past Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, there is no drought at all. It has been so wet, and you never see that. And now we're going to end up seeing a lot more of that warmer weather, drier conditions, so it should be a lot better as we go into middle of June, end of June. And the forecast is to keep our temperatures slightly above normal through this time frame of summer. But the key, I think, for most of us is drying out, and I do see some drier weather patterns starting next week.
Well, that's good. I mean, I know we need moisture, we need the rain and the like, but man, it has been like, I thought last year was a bumper crop for mosquitoes. This year, I can't walk from my car to the barn without getting attacked, and it's been really, really bad.
Yeah, you link up that spring hatch, which we all know here in Michigan, every spring you get the onslaught when they all first start to hatch, and you put that with that wet weather that we had, and you just, you know, make that problem twice, three times as bad. And that has been the case, and it's come on strong. We need some days where it's in the 80s and mosquitoes don't want to be around, and start drying some of that standing water too.
Yeah, we've had a lot of standing water. Andy Provenzano, meteorologist for WILX TV 10, is joining us right now, kind of getting our quarterly forecast, if you will. We try and get Andy on to see what's going on in the spring, the summer, fall, and winter times. Andy, was it me, or did this winter just really drag on this year?
It did drag on. It dragged on. Spring was extremely disappointing because we started out in March. We had a couple of stretches where it's like, oh, boy, this is going to be good. And then it just fell behind. April was not very good. Even the month of May had some issues early on. So, winter just kept going and going and going. Now, when you start looking at averages, how was it for the winter? How was it? You got to add in temperatures all day long. And at night, in this past couple of months, the temperatures at night have been on the milder side.
Mm-hmm.
And that means your average temperature was above normal. So certain months we were like a degree above normal, and it's like, boy, that doesn't match up. But the winter did drag on. That is for sure. And even the ice on the Great Lakes kind of dragged on too, because we didn't have that normal big push of warmth too. But everything is settled down now, and I think we're just about ready. We see some 80s and 90s getting back into our state next week, and that kind of warmth will be around on a regular basis.
Andy Provenzano joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Andy, in the next segment, I want to ask you some questions about how our Great Lakes and where we're at seems to be very different when you go just a little bit farther north. So I'll ask you about that here in a couple of minutes. And I tell you, when it comes to weather, you have to be the most stable guy out there, because you can see what's coming and you don't just live, you know, by looking out the window like a lot of us do, going, man, it's cloudy. Man, this is depressing. I'm tired of this.
You know, and you're old as I am, you have the hindsight, the number of years where you see a pattern go, I recognize that.
Right.
Or, let's watch for this, because I've seen that happen this time of year so many times. You know, so I have a little bit of that hindsight to work with.
All right. Hang on a second. We're going to speak more with Andy Provenzano, welcoming back our friends at the Game 730 WVFN in Lansing. Also, all of our great affiliates across the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense, conquestsense.com. There's a link on our website. New stuff is coming that I can't talk about, but I know about it. I'm excited, but disappointed because I can't talk about it. So look at conquestsense.com. As soon as we are able to make the announcement, we will do so. Doug Roberts will do that for us. In the meantime, make sure you load up on your VS1 and your other scents. I mean, they've even got your danger zone stuff to keep your perennials and your trees safe away from the wildlife. Check them out online, conquestscents.com. Back now with meteorologist from WILX TV10, Andy Provenzano. Or as Ted Nugent would say, Andy Provenganzo. And man, I remember those days. Those were a riot with him.
Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit about the weather here in Michigan, because we have different levels of location to the Great Lakes, and I know that affects a lot around us. And I want to go back a little bit to that tornado that happened on the west end of Gaylord, because they're the reason they have elk there is because of their hilly climate, and because it's a very alpine-like structure, the way that, you know, the land lays over there. I mean, it was perfect for the German settlers to come in there, and because it's very reminiscent of their area. And, you know, it's also an area for a lot of snow and what we can see to be potentially hazardous weather.
Yeah, whenever you mix, you know, cold with warm, and that was the case that day, that basically had a stationary front right over the top of northern parts of the Lower Peninsula. And rain and storms started early that morning, lots of heavy rain and then waves of storms, and then there was the perfect storm system. I was watching it on radar, sitting in the weather office, and as the storm developed, and you could see there was a huge tornado developed inside that, and it stayed together for almost 20 minutes. That's a long time in the state of Michigan, and it kept moving in. It was just moving right along that zone of the warm and the cold. They were only in a marginal risk for severe weather, and that points out to everybody that when you're put in these different risk areas, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's not going to happen today. It just means in some area. And that was the only one that produced a tornado, is the only one. And that's kind of what a marginal is about. You know, you've got the right ingredients. We know what ingredients are needed to either give you heavy winds one day, or the possibility of the whole gamut, or just tornadoes. And that was a day where if you got something, you get high enough into the atmosphere, you were probably going to produce something that could give you a tornado. And that was the case. And it's a rare thing for them, obviously. They've had them before. You and I have made trips to the UP or northern lower and seen where a tornado had toppled trees, and that kind of scar lasts for a decade or so. I've seen that in northern lower, but this is a pretty classic thunderstorm that really affected that area. That was a shame. It was a shame that where it did come down was that key stretch on the west side there, and then obviously going over through a mobile home park, that's never good.
No, you know,
it was a very active day.
I remember, I believe Sarah and I were in Mount Pleasant that day, and I mean, a lot of heavy wind and rain and some sizable hail came through that area as well. And then we learned about the tornado that had gone through Gaylord. It was just a very rough day weather-wise, especially for those folks.
Yeah, exactly. And there were tons of hail reports, and this storm system made it all the way into Lake Huron. It was dropping hail all the while. I had some pictures sent to me of it, you know, out over the water, just left Alpena, and it was just a nasty looking thunderstorm even at that time. So you got to remember, when you're up north, especially that time of year and earlier, there's a lot of cold air above our heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the atmosphere hasn't warmed up enough, and if you can tap into that cold, you really can't produce those storms. So I feel sorry for those folks. It was just in a bad, bad location, that's for sure. It's not to say it can't happen again, especially with the lingering cold air that we've been dealing with. And there's been quite a few tornado outbreaks, even this week to our south.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a tornado last night hit a large, large distribution center from Meyer down in Dayton.
It did.
So it
literally,
Andy, if you end up with shortages.
Another shortage. If you saw it, it would just collapse like a whole wall, whole long row of walls just came down. It was just incredible how that affected that particular structure. And, you know, when they tell us, Andy, if a tornado is coming to get into a low-lying area like a ditch, man, I got to be honest with you. I find it, I'm going to be very hard-pressed to throw myself out of my vehicle into a ditch to get safe.
It is true. It is very true. A lot of times if you're in your car, you probably can maneuver yourself out of that situation, either slow up as you are starting to enter into some really dark skies, things like that. The thought used to be, we'll just get underneath the bridge for protection, but now they say don't do that because you're actually going to be in an area where winds will increase speed, kind of a tunnel effect. There were many people that were driving right through that storm system on I-75, and they got affected by it. So, yeah, it is tough. To tell somebody to go lay in a ditch, and then you're not even supposed to lay flat. You're supposed to be on your knees and be aware of rising water and all those things. That's a pretty tough call. And I think nowadays everybody's got a phone, have access to a radar, and your phones will give you alerts. You can be anywhere in the country, and your phone will let you know if you're driving into a tornado warning area or a thunderstorm warning area. So you're probably better off to maybe pull over in time to get a bathroom break and let that go by.
You know, Andy, it's funny the things, Andy Provenzano, meteorologist, joining us here on Wild Michigan. What has changed in just the years that I've known you? You know, I mean, we've gone maybe from a standard vertical phone to a flip phone to the things that we can now get, like really good radar and up-to-date information on in that short of time.
The technology has increased in my field, I mean, tenfold. There's just no doubt about
sure.
it from when I started out. But what's more important is it used to be that that technology never got shared to the common person. And now, with the radars that used to be only exclusive to the Weather Service and they saw the information, then now that's being transmitted to us. That's being sent out either via a service or just tapping right into the Weather Service, whatever it is. So the one I have, I can control the radar. It's an app that everybody else can get, but I can get estimated times of arrival. I can put the lightning on it. I can put all sorts of information. And you can do that, especially on a computer. You can find out, you know, how fast the winds are inside a storm. So all that stuff now is available to the average folk. Now, a lot of people don't want all that technology and say, just let me know if it's raining.
Sure.
But you can. You can get real time. It used to be radar updates would come to you about every 5 to 10 minutes, and now it's real time.
Andy Provenzano, appreciate you joining us. And yes, sir, we are a long way from Sonny Elliott sticking lightning bolts in clouds and saying inga ringa dinga dine. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Have a good summer.
You too. And thanks so much for the weather updates. Looking forward to a good summer. Looking forward to talking to Tom Nelson, the American Archer, coming up next on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez hanging out with you. All over the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com, and don't forget, man, not just guns. Auctions are back, and we will be happy to, you know, get you hooked up with those guys at notjustguns.com. They are a great, great bunch of people over there. If you're looking for your first firearm, looking for something for home defense, personal carry, everyday carry, whatever the case it is, notjustguns.com, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. Tell Mike and his staff that we sent you over there, and let them help you find what you want. Not what they want to sell you, what you want, because that's what they're for, and that's they're there for, and that's what they're good at. So appreciate them being a part of this show. Tom Nelson, the American Archer, on the Outdoor Channel, joining us right now. Tom, excited to say that we are back on the Game 730 VFN in Lansing. Way back when, Tom, when we were just the one station, that's where we got started, and we've come back full circle, and still on our other Lansing affiliate and all the other ones across the state. But happy to have them back. And, of course, we got a strong showing in Grand Ledge. which yes, is which is, you know, which is like a second home to me, but let's I want to talk a little bit about getting back into the groove. I mean, some of us may or may not been out turkey hunting, and you know what, according to Andy Provenzano, who we just had on, it looks like our weather is going to be come a little more consistent, so it'll be warmer, but we'll be drier a little bit, so we can get out and start shooting, maybe doing some 3D. But what are the first things we need to think about pulling that bow out of the case, out of the box for the first time?
Well, let me first say, Duran, that it's always a pleasure to be on the show. And also, yes, I'm glad to hear that we have a better weather forecast coming. I mean, weather has been all over the place this spring, which has definitely threw a wrench into my turkey hunting. I was in Saskatchewan bear hunting, and weather played a big part in both of those hunts. So it's nice to hear that things are going to straighten out. But as far as going back to the bow, you know, a lot of us are guilty of, you know, at the bow season ends and we toss the bow in its case or put it in the corner or hang it up. And I'm not saying we're neglecting it, but we don't think about it for a while. And now, you know, spring has come and is almost gone and summer's upon us, and it's time to take a look at that bow, especially if you're going to get out and start practicing, which is, you know, one of those things you want to start doing now. It's June and you need to get out and start flinging some arrows. But before we do that, take a look at the bow. Check your string out. Does it need waxing? Does it need replacing? How are your stringing cables? I mean, that's all stuff. It's like doing an oil change on your car. You know, you want to take that bow and have it looked at. So if you're not an extremely knowledgeable archer or bow hunter, take it to your local pro shop, have it looked at, have them look at your stringing cables, make some recommendations. If you were not happy with your bow sight or your arrow rest, hey, now's the time to replace it. Start shooting it, get acclimated to it over the summer, and so when fall rolls around, you're used to that equipment and you're ready to go.
Tom Nelson joining us here on Wild Michigan. You know, Tom, it's hard. I mean, look, muscle memory and using those muscles that you got so used to if you were somebody that was practicing a lot prior to October 1st, which oddly enough is when bow season starts. Because it for some reason, Tom, October 1st, November 15th seem to be a big surprise for a lot of people. They got to go out and sight in the day before,
yeah.
And I don't understand that. But there are a lot of bow people that shoot 3D and stuff, and, you know, it's about getting yourself in tune as much as being in tune with your equipment.
Absolutely. You know, and you mentioned muscle memory. That's such an important part, and that I tell people this all the time, you know, that even if you can't get outside in the winter and shoot your bow, you know, because of weather and such, have that bow accessible, hanging in the garage, hanging in your workshop, in the basement, whatever. Grab it, draw it back numerous times. Every time you walk by it, draw it back a half a dozen times. You know, reenact shooting. Keep those muscles in tune. Because, you know, nothing really simulates, as far as exercises, to me, drawing a bow back other than actually doing it. You know, those back muscles, that you're just not working them doing anything else. So take. And again, if you can't shoot on a daily basis, draw your bow back. I can't stress that enough.
Tom Nelson joining us here on Wild Michigan. Tom, for somebody that does shoot often and you know, and stays within the rhythm, sometimes the mind likes to play tricks on you, and something called target panic develops. Even though you've been shooting for a long time, you have an, I don't know, like almost this something that's blocking you from seeing or being able to hit that target the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is kind of funny because I find target panic more prevalent in a archer or bow hunter that is accomplished, you know, has been shooting for a while, much more so than a rookie or a new guy or his first year learning to shoot archery. It's much more common in again, bow hunters and archers that have been shooting for a while. And I think you oftentimes, you know, you fall into this rut as far as how you shoot and your style or whatever, and that perhaps enhances target panic some. And target panic is basically when you draw your bow back, whether you're shooting fingers or a release, you just can't keep that pin on the bullseye and go through the shot process in your mind and make your body physically release that arrow. It's hard to describe, but those out there that have had target panic, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's, Durant, it's very hard to overcome. Mm-hmm. It's not an overnight cure.
No, unfortunately, I've not experienced it myself. I mean, I've had times that, you know, I've had to maybe set the bow down, step away, take a deep breath, walk around a bit, or just put it down for the day. Because, you know, yeah. I was probably working myself to a point that I was making it harder than what it really is.
Absolutely. Your solution as far as stepping away often, but not always, will cure it. I mean, if you take it might be a month break. I hate to say that because I like to shoot, four or five times a week, but sometimes stepping away, my suggestion usually is, and I just worked with somebody here recently that was dealing with target panic. I get them right up in front of that target. I'm talking shooting 5 yards away, basically point blank range, throwing back, closing your eyes and releasing where you know you're not going to miss the target, and not worrying about where you're hitting, basically going through the mechanics of the shot in your mind and not seeing what you're doing, and just work your way through it. And that seems to help more than anything, actually.
Tom Nelson, the American Archer, excuse me, joining us here on Wild Michigan. Real quickly, Tom, how many years is it now with American Archer? It seems to multiply by way more years than what it really is every time I ask you.
We're a short few weeks away from 26 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, hard to believe. It ages me.
You were barely into this thing when we started. I think you were almost going on 10. Time. And now you're at 26. I'm getting to 16. And the beautiful thing is there's no slowing down, at least on my end. And you're still traveling all over the place. You were in Saskatchewan. Real quickly, how was the weather for that? Because I know we still had cold about this time, by the time you were up there.
We had snow, sleet, freezing rain, but we also had bluebird days, too, of 60 degrees. It was all over the place.
That's crazy.
And if there's one thing that bears do not like, it's those windy, rainy type days. And
right.
We had a few of those. But overall, I mean, I had bears climbing my tree stand with me, and I saw numerous bears. So it was still was a good hunt.
All right. Tom Nelson joining us here. Got more coming your way on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, Interstate 94, more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late, another night in Michigan.
Welcome Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Don't forget Conquest Sense, conquestsense.com online. A great Michigan company that has all of your scents in a stick, including their own line of bear attractants. So make sure you check them out. Speaking of bears, our friend Tom Nelson joins us. The American Archer was just back in, from Canada bear hunting. And Tom, you've had the opportunity to take a lot of bear in your time. And I've been up close and about as personal as you can get with a black bear. A number of years ago in Canada, it was on a bait pile. We were walking in. My guide suggested that, hey, maybe we back out and come back. And I said, no, I'm going to put my release on, walk up even closer, and see if I can get a shot. Well, long story short, my sight was loose. I didn't get the bear. But I was only about 15 yards away on the ground with it. And I loved that. That to me was like just one of the ultimate things. But there's something about a spring bear hunt that I've not done that intrigues me. And it's very different than a fall hunt.
It is. As far as springtime, you know, the reason a lot of hunters like to go in the spring, bears are coming out of hibernation. They've got a beautiful coat of fur on them. Long, luxurious hair, and almost perfect. And bears, of course, when they first pop out of the den, they're hungry and they're looking for something. So if you're baiting bears, they're very apt to show up at your bait site. Fall can be a little different. You know, the bears, again, their hide's good. It might not be as long, but you don't have to worry about any rub marks and such. But there is and can be a lot of natural food out there, whether it's berries, whether it's mass crops such as acorns, beech nuts, etc., that you compete with on the fall hunts when you're baiting. So it can be a little different and I think a little harder in the fall.
Yeah, we did come across a really good crop of wild blueberries that one year, and that made it for miserable hunting. But the following year, dry conditions, food sources were kind of tough, so the baiting worked out well, and I still didn't get one. But I had a blast, so I would do it again in a minute. With black bears, and you know, because now we have one very close to our area, so we've been told, you know, not too far from the DeWitt-Langsburg area, it's been seen. We know they have a huge range, and males are looking for mates, and this one doesn't seem to be too old because of its size.
Yeah. I actually have some friends that had it in their yard and raided their bird feeder. My daughter, who lives in that area, actually one of her neighbors, just a few houses down, they live close to the Looking Glass River, had that particular bear walk through their yard in the middle of the day and took pictures of it. And it, in my opinion, it's probably a three-year-old male. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, they're like transient bears now, trying to find their own area, and they get booted out by their mom now, and so they're basically trying to find a territory of their own. So they just range way out there looking for a spot, and they're traveling through. It's happened before, and
sure,
you know, you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone, but they're just a little bit, I don't want to say confused, but they're just, again, trying to find their own little slice of landscape to call home, and so they follow those river systems and such. So it's nothing rare to see a bear down in this area. And in the bear population in southern Michigan is exploding. So they are looking for a place to call home.
Well, Tom, you know what? I feel good because I told my wife, Sarah, I'd say, you know what? That seems to be about a three-year-old bear kind of following the river systems, looking for a place. And now you just made me sound like a well-rounded outdoorsman. I feel good now.
No, you're right on the money and stuff. And like the DNR has told people that have been calling in, just leave it alone. He's a transient. He's moving through, and he'll end up perhaps even back up north. But you can't believe how far a bear can travel in a day. I mean, they're always moving. You think about it, they're on the move, and
sure.
And if you took off walking, you could cover a lot of distance in a week.
especially with four paws. Or as they stand, they can they can stand and walk too if they get bored. So Tom Nelson, our guest here, the American Archer. Tom, a little bit about 3D shooting. One of our favorite places, yours and mine, Thorny Acres Archery Club out in LC, Michigan. They do 3D shoots throughout the course of the year. They do indoor 3D shoots, and the Tom Nelson shoot is coming up in July. We want to kind of get people ready for it now. Of course, we'll have you back on to talk about it again in July, but that is coming up here in July, and that is a great time.
It is, and it's such, if you haven't been out to Thorny Acres, it's a really, really friendly course. When I say friendly, I mean user friendly as far as the yardage. You know, there's not those 70 yard type shots out there. There's a lot of 18 to 40 yard shots that are very doable. So it's a great course to take your kids to, your wife, whether you're a novice or whether you're a pro. It's a fun course as you walk through the woods at shooting at 3D targets. And this is a fundraiser for the club. And like a lot of sportsmen's clubs across the state, a lot of these clubs are struggling because of COVID and such, where they didn't get the participation in their 3D shoots or had to cancel them. So, you know, we're reaching out. I'm sponsoring this shoot, just trying to help the club out. I've been a long, long time member of Thorny Acres, and I've shot their 3D shoot since the 1970s. So that tells you how long they've been around. So for a fun weekend, I'll be there. I'll look forward to seeing everybody stop in and say hello. I'll be available out there if you want to shoot some arrows and stuff, novelty shoots. It's just a fun weekend. So I hope the listeners will make it a point to get out there.
Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, is joining us here on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. And Tom, I want to touch on a subject that was very near and dear to both of our hearts, because you introduced me to this gentleman, our good friend Mike Lifford, who we lost recently. You know, Tom, when you get that guy, that one guy that you trust above no one else with your bow, And you lose him, how do you find someone new? I mean, this is a hard question, because, I mean, yeah, I love Mike.
Yeah. You know, and I've been involved in the archery world since I was 7 years old, and more so as I grew older. It's been my only viable means of support, from working at the archery shop for years and hosting the American Archer TV show. And I can do a lot of the mechanical stuff and work on my own bows and such. But if I ever ran into a problem, where did I go? Who did I see? It was Mike Lifford. Mike's the only other guy I ever trusted to touch my bow. I mean, he was just a heck of a bow mechanic and a heck of a bow hunter and one heck of an archer. So, you know, to replace him is going to be tough. But we are very blessed in Michigan to have a host of archery shops, pro shops, and even sporting goods stores with good bow mechanics that are employed there. But, you know, it's like having, you know, the mechanic that works on your truck. You know, you use the same guy. I know you do, Duran. I do, you know, and the same goes for a bow mechanic. So, you know, really check with it. Find an experienced bow hunter or bow mechanic that's been doing it for a long time. And if you like his work, because as you said, you get a guy that you trust to work on your bow or make adjustments. That speaks volumes of the person. And Mike Lifford was one of the best individuals, one of the best guys I've ever known. He was a good, good friend, and like I said, one heck of an archer.
Yeah, and he came from a long line, a family of fantastic archers as well. So, I mean, it was pretty much in his blood.
Yeah, his mom was a national champion archer back in the 1950s. So he's been shooting a bow since basically he was old enough to walk. So, and he loved archery, was very active in archery clubs here, Capital Area Sportsman's Club, and he would shoot out to Thorny Acres and all across the state, participated in a lot of the MAA shoots, and which is Michigan Archery Association, along with he was a national 3D champion at IBO and these ASA shoots, well respected and well known.
Yeah, he was a great loss to the archery community. He got my daughter set up and started. I mean, again, like you said, I mean, it's like having that great barber, Tom. You know, you've got that one guy, that one guy only that you trust, that knows your work as well as you do, and, you know... And it's tough. It's going to be tough, but I wanted to bring you in on that because Mike was such a great guy, and we really haven't had a lot of time to talk about him. So thank you so much for sharing all of your information with us, Tom. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you out to Elsie for the 3D shoot in July, and we'll talk to you soon about getting set up and getting ready for fall hunting before too long.
Thanks, Grant. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Tom Nelson, the American Archer, Andy Provenzano, our resident meteorologist, giving us the good news about upcoming summer weather. More coming your way. We're going to talk fishing charters, Saginaw Bay, and on the Detroit side. Coming up here next on Wild Michigan.